Welcome to the radio ministry of Clearview Church in Henderson, where our goal is to make Christ visible. Clearview is a place of genuine worship with ministries for all age groups and all peoples. For more information, visit us at 3485 Oxford Road in Henderson, or visit us online at clearviewbc.org. Now join us for this week's message by Pastor Abadon Shaw.
This is the first weekend of the new year, and I want to preach a message titled, Out of the Graveyard. Hopefully it will awaken us to come out of the graveyard of excuses and inspire us to step out into the new year with Jesus Christ. If you have your Bibles with you, turn to Luke chapter 9. We're still in our series on the life of Christ. Luke chapter 9, verses 57 onwards, and would you stand together for the reading of God's Word. Now it happened, as they journeyed on the road, that someone said to him, Lord, I will follow you wherever you go. And Jesus said to him, foxes have holes, and the birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. Then he said to another, follow me. But he said, Lord, let me first go and bury my father. Jesus said to him, let the dead bury their own dead, but you go and preach the kingdom of God. Now this is the time of the year when people make resolutions. New Year's resolutions to change their lives, to break some habit, to maybe start a good habit. According to some surveys, about 70% of the resolutions are broken by the end of January. Unfortunately, it's really bad when it comes to spiritual resolutions. Things like, I want to follow Jesus Christ in this year. I want to obey Him. I want to trust Him more. I want to read my Bible, pray, serve in church. When it comes to those matters, I don't think it even lasts until the end of January. Maybe the end of the week, and people forget. Hopefully today's message is going to help us come out of the graveyard of excuses and start living. Start living the Christian life God wants us to live. Now the passage we just read took place in the early part of Jesus' ministry. Multitudes of people were coming to him. Some were coming to hear the word of God. Some were coming for the miracles. Some were coming for other reasons. But they were coming by the droves. And it seemed like everyone wanted to follow Jesus Christ. And then we come across this passage. And we come to realize not everybody there was as interested in following Jesus Christ as we may think. In fact, this three-part encounter tells us that most people hesitated, had second thoughts, and never followed Jesus Christ. Sadly, not much has changed. Even today, even right here this morning at 8:15, there are people all over this congregation who are saying, yeah, I need to follow Jesus Christ more. But for one reason or another, you will go back to your old lives. There are people here, by the way, sadly, who are saying, nah, I'm going to stay just the way I am. Nothing really has changed. Folks, may I ask you this morning, how many people do you know personally who did not get to see this day? How many people do you know in public who did not get to see this year? Why did God allow you to see 2017? I mean, if you believe that. If you believe that this is a gift from God, that God has given you the opportunity to face 2017, are you going to live for Him or are you going to live for yourself again? This morning, as we walk through this message, I'm praying that the Holy Spirit will help you to come out of the graveyard of excuses, to come out of the grave of comfort and obligations and one last glance, those are the graves we're going to look at this morning, and start living the life God wants you to live. Let me ask you again. Are you buried somewhere in the graveyard of excuses? What resolutions have you made? You say, well, we were up late. We were celebrating. Oh, we were having a great time. What resolutions have you made spiritually? I can promise you 95% of people sitting here this morning, right this moment, have made absolutely no resolution. You're living on borrowed time. God is giving you an opportunity and you're saying, thank you, God, but I'm going to live for me again. The question this morning is, what excuses are you using to keep you from going forward with Christ? And by the way, before you can leave the graveyard of excuses to follow Christ, you have to come out of the grave of sin and death. That's the first grave you have to come out of. Have you come out of that grave? Are you saved? So this morning, we're going to look at three common graves in the graveyard of excuses. Based on the encounter that Jesus had with these three individuals, three graves. Grave number one is the grave of comfort. Grave of comfort. Listen again to verse 57. Now it happened, as they journeyed on the road, that someone said to him, Lord, I will follow you wherever you go. Now at first glance, the speaker looks like an eager disciple. God, I want to go with you wherever you go. I don't care where you're going. I am going with you. Jesus knew his real intention. Apparently, this was a young man because Matthew tells us that he called Jesus teacher, rabbi. This was a young man who was approaching Jesus as a rabbi. In those days, and even in some settings today, a rabbi would gather young followers around him. The job of the followers were simply to take care of their master's needs. It was a low-risk job, minimal sacrifices and obligations. All they had to do was say, Rabbi, what do you want us to do today? Well, I want you to go ahead and work on the meals and maybe find us a place to stay tonight and do this and that. Go get me the Torah. Go get me the scroll. That's the job. That's it. Once that is done, all they do is just stand around and just wait. Let the rabbi talk. Let the people come. Maybe do a little bit of crowd control. That's about it. They had to do these things, but the sacrifices were minimal. Just be there. And their daily necessities were taken care of. They don't have to worry about food, clothing, and shelter because people gave money to the rabbi, and you live off of that. Jesus saw the intention of this young man. It would have been very easy for him to say, all right, come on, join the team. Just connect yourself with somebody and learn from them and just be busy. Just do something. Just help out and that's it. Jesus didn't do that. Instead, he abruptly challenged this young man's assumption about being a disciple. Listen to what Jesus said to him. Very strange. He said, foxes have holes. And the birds of the nest have, of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. You can almost see the young man going, I never heard that from a rabbi before. What are you talking about? Now, please don't misunderstand this. Jesus was not calling this young man to leave his sleep number bed. He was not calling him to abandon his Tempur-Pedic pillow. You know what I mean by that? He was not saying, okay, to follow me, you have to renounce the world and all the material comforts of life and wander around, live under a tree like a hermit. You may have to use a rock for a pillow. It's going to get uncomfortable. Folks, if that were the case, all of us are in trouble. Because to follow Jesus Christ, you got to go home and sell your house, sell everything, pick up a knapsack and follow Jesus Christ wherever he goes. By the way, some people did that. Is that what Jesus meant? No. This was not a call to renounce the material comforts of life. This was a call to an uncomfortable life. What Jesus was really telling this young man is this: do you really understand what it means to follow me? To follow me, you have to live an uncomfortable life. And it was not as much about physical comfort of beds and pillows in a house. This was a whole different kind of discomfort. Previously, it may be comfortable for you to tolerate some old sin in your life, but if you follow me, you have to give that up. Are y'all with me? This was not about beds and pillows and living on the street and on the park benches or somewhere out in the jungle. This was a call to a whole different kind of uncomfortable life. Previously, it was okay for you to hold on to some old habit. I don't know what your habits are, but you know what those destructive habits are in your life. Previously was okay, but if you follow Jesus Christ, you have to give that up. Previously, it was comfortable to hold on to some grudge in your life against somebody. Every morning you get up and you nurse that grudge. It feels good. It gives you passion. It gives you a drive. Do you know there are a lot of people, even here this morning, who live off that grudge? Something someone said to them when they were a little boy, or something happened to them when they were a grown person, somebody mistreated them. Every day, as they are getting ready to go to their job, they also go to this job, the job of holding a grudge. But if you follow Jesus Christ, you have to let go of that grudge and say, I am willing to be vulnerable. I'm willing to be what Christ wants me to be. I'm not going to hide behind this grudge. Previously, it was comfortable to live by some old dreams and old desires in your life. But if you're going to follow Jesus Christ, you have to give those up and take on His dreams and His desires. Folks, I can go on and on. What Jesus was telling this young man is, following me will not be comfortable. Again, it's not about beds and pillows. It's not about having a roof over your head. This was about the uncomfortable life, the lonely, sometimes painful, tough, disappointing life where you have to do things differently than you did before. Following Jesus is not easy. Do you know that? Following Christ is not easy. Many times you have to give up your right to fight back. Well, you don't know what they've done to me. I have the right to do it back. Well, you can. It's just not what Jesus wants you to do. Well, you think the world is going to run over me? I just got to let people say what they... No, it's not that. The point is this. Sometimes you have to let God take over and let Him bring justice. Well, in my relationship, in my marriage, in my the way my husband talks to me, the way my wife talks to me, the way I'm going to do what I have to do. Well, you can do that, and I know that's comfortable, but if you follow Jesus Christ, you have to be obedient to Him, and that's not an easy road. Which one do you want? Following Christ is not comfortable. Many people want to follow Jesus as long as it is comfortable. They want an easy life with minimal changes, responsibilities, and sacrifices. Yeah, we got to feed all the hungry in our community. I'll tell you what, the churches these days don't do anything. And I'll tell you what, I love a church that's out there helping. How much do you put in the offering plate? Well, right now I got nothing, you know. I mean, when I do, if I win a lottery, preacher, I'll build you a church. Do you know how many times I've heard that? I want to tell them, it's like, if you ever win the lottery, we won't find hide nor hair of you. You'll be gone. You see, we want that comfortable, easy life with minimal sacrifices and obligations. Yeah, I'll follow Jesus wherever He goes, as long as it's not too costly. Can I ask you this morning, are you willing to take the uncomfortable way in 2017? In your marriage? In your daily life, in your work, in your community, are you willing to take the uncomfortable way? This is not a call to give up the comforts of life and the finer things of life. You see, you can have all those things and still miss the mark. Are you willing to live the life of sacrifice? The first grave that God calls us out of is the grave of comfort. But here's number two. is the grave of obligations. Listen to verse 59. Then he said to another, this time Jesus is initiating the call. He said to another, follow me. But he said, Lord, let me first go and bury my father. Again, at first reading, that sounds like a strange request. Was this man's dad, like, dead, waiting for the funeral? Not really. I mean, if you've been in church and you've heard messages on this, a Sunday school lesson, you know this is not what was happening. Excuse me. What the man was really saying was that my father is up in age. I need to be there for him. Once God calls him home, and I have cleared up the family business, divided up the inheritance, more than likely he was an older brother, then I'll follow Jesus Christ. I'll come after you. First, let me, you know, see my dad all the way to the end. By the way, this was a delusion, because what this man was saying was a common excuse. I'll follow you when things settle down. When things settle down. Right now, there's too much going on. I want to follow Jesus, but right now, just don't have the time for that. Jesus saw through it. Let me ask you this morning. What do you think would happen after his father died? Well, he would have to get the family together and divide the inheritance. Now, I've been a pastor for 18 years. Not every funeral, but many funerals, I have seen the tension even before they get to the graveyard. You know what the tension is over? Who gets the money? I can recognize it right away. I mean, it is so obvious. It may be people who are, you know, way down there on the social and financial strata of life, or there are people who are, man, they are up, way up there. I have seen them both areas, and the tension begins. And people think, I don't know. Isn't that funny? They think, I don't know. So I kind of stand around. I just kind of pretend like I really don't know. But I can figure out, like, hey, you're mad, and you're mad at them. There's got to be something there. And sooner or later, someone will come to me and say, preacher, I just want to let you know, pray for us. I'm like, yeah, sure, absolutely. And they want to volunteer more information. I'm like, I don't want to know anymore. But they will tell me, it's like, well, so-and-so, you know, I tell you what, they're not speaking to me right now because they want this and this. I'm like, man, I don't know what to say. I just know one thing, your parents would not be happy right now. Jesus saw through this, and he knew that going home and just seeing his parents doing the last rites is not the end, because more than likely things wouldn't work out. Somebody would call unfair. And like it happens in many places, what happens? It ends up in the court, and pretty much is over. Now you spend the rest of the next 4 or 5 years, whatever, fighting it out. Listen to what Jesus says to this young man. He said to him, let the dead bury their own dead. Sounds kind of insensitive, doesn't it? Jesus saying that you let your dead family members bury your dead father, or find someone else, you go and preach the kingdom of God. Here's a question. Do you think Jesus was actually suggesting that this man ignore his duty to his aged parents? Would you like to know the answer to that? Yes. Now, don't misunderstand. This was not about dishonoring your parents or not showing up for the funeral or not helping out in their old age. What Jesus was saying to this man was simply this. Don't let the trivial or the essential concerns of life keep you from following me. Many of you, if you were truly honest this morning, you have put your spiritual life on hold right now. What you have said is, not Jesus. I mean, one day, we're in a busy season of life. One day I will follow God. Right now, there's just too much going on. What would Jesus say to you? Follow me now. Let the dead bury their own dead. You follow me. Folks, it was not about being disrespectful to your parents or not being there for them. What he was telling him, don't let obligations keep you from obeying me. You know, life never settles down. I've been a pastor for almost 2 decades now. I've seen a whole generation grow up and move on. What I've heard is things like, after the children grow up, Pastor, we will get involved. After the kids grow up. What happens after the kids grow up? They go to college. Now you got to work 2 jobs to pay for them or something else or something crazy they'll do. And you're like, well, I guess. Once we get this behind us, what happens after that? They get married. You go, well, I got to pay for the wedding. I got to do all these. Once all this is done, what happens after that? They bring more back home, right? It's called grandkids. Praise God for grandkids, right? Life never settles down. And when you think, okay, it's all done, and you go, oh, my back. The doctor called me up and he said this, and I got to run some tests. I never expected to be going through this now. Some sickness, some disease comes over and you go, well, I don't know. I just got to take it easy right now. Life will never settle down. May I add something to that? Satan will always put something on your plate. He will always keep something that you will be occupied with rather than following Jesus Christ. Something always will be there. Isn't that amazing that Jesus, the Son of God, he got right to the point. He said, let the dead bury the dead. You follow me. When? Now. Folks, I don't know what stage of life you are. You might be a young person. You might be a senior adult. You might be sick. You might be well. It doesn't matter what stage in life. Today is the day. Don't wait for things to settle down. Grave of comfort. Grave of obligations. But here comes the last one. The grave of one last glance. Listen to verse 61. Another also said, remember the first one said, I'll follow you wherever you go. The second one, Jesus said, come follow me. He said, I got to go take care of my family. The third one says himself, Lord, I will follow you, but let me first go and bid them farewell who are at my house. Now, again, on this first reading, this sounds like a reasonable request, doesn't it? Let me go home and tell bye to my family. I mean, after all, they're going to be worried about me. Where am I going? Where am I going to be in 6 months to a year? Let me just kiss my wife and kids, my friends, my parents, and then I will follow you. Nothing bad about that, is it? Everything bad about it. The world is full of people, saved or lost, who took that one last glance. Remember Lot's wife? As she was leaving Sodom, she looked back. The Bible says she turned into a pillar of salt. People have tried to wonder what exactly happened to her. Did she actually turn into a pillar of salt, or did she proverbially turn into a pillar? Who knows? I believe she actually turned into a pillar of salt. Bottom line is she couldn't go forward. This morning, can I ask you a question? Are you taking that last glance? You know, this is what you will see in that one last look. Some of you will see pain. Some of you are taking that one last glance, and what you see are regrets, things that you wish you had done differently. Man, I wish I was there for my wife. Or I wish I was there for my children. I wish I was there for my parents. I wish I had done things differently. And I can't leave until I fix that. Some of you see failures, places and situations in your life where you messed up and you feel like you're going to mess up again, so that one last look keeps you from going forward. Maybe not right now. Some even see disappointed faces. People in their life who are hurt because you are following Christ. You know what I found? It's very strange. But sometimes the people who oppose you the most when it comes to following Jesus Christ is your own family. But there are many people, when they start coming to church, why are you going to that church? I'm going to do this Bible. Why are you doing that? You're different. You changed. We used to hang out. We used to spend time together. Family time. There is no more family. You got to be in the church all the time. It's not about the family time. It's called control. They want you right there with you instead of following God. They feel threatened. What did Jesus say to this man? Listen to what he said in verse 62. Jesus said to him, "No one having put his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God." Many years ago, I preached on this passage, and a farmer in our church came to me and said, you know, when he was farming with a mule, he was told, "Don't you ever look back. Always find you a point and keep walking towards that point. If you look back, the lines will be crooked. If you keep your eyes up at a point, you will have straight lines." Sometimes the people who keep you from looking forward is your own family. It's not lost people. It's not your enemies. It's your own family that says you can't go any further. What did Jesus say in Luke chapter 14, verse 26? Jesus says, "If anyone comes to me and does not hate his father and mother, wife and children, brothers and sisters, yes, and his own life also, he cannot be my disciple." Isn't that crazy? It means you got to love Jesus so much it almost seems like you hate your family. Listen to Matthew 10. Again, Jesus says, "Do not think that I came to bring peace on earth. I did not come to bring a peace, but a sword. For I have come to set a man against his father." I think about my own dad. He lost it all because he followed Jesus Christ. A daughter against her mother, a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law, and a man's enemies will be those of his own household. Verse 37, "He who loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me, and he who loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me, and he who does not take up his cross and follow after me is not worthy of me. He who finds his life will lose it, and he who loses his life for my sake will find it." I can go on and on. Here's the question this morning. Are you living in the grave of one last glance? In your life, in what God has for you, stop looking back. You say, "Well, don't you need to look back sometimes with gratitude?" Yeah, that's different. Don't you need to look back and know where you've come from? Sure. But if looking back is keeping you from going forward, it's time to stop looking back. Start living. God has some wonderful things for you in 2017. Do you believe that? God has great things in store. See, following Jesus Christ is not just saying, "I'll do whatever Jesus..." No, it's about the good things God has. God has, for some of you, God has relationship in 2017. For some of you, God has a new profession, a new job. God has a ministry. God has so much, but you are stuck in the graveyard. Following Jesus Christ is the best thing that can happen to you. And this morning, trust God. Following Him is not a road of sorrows. It's a road of sacrifices, but it's a road of blessing.
Once again, thank you for joining us today. The question again is, are you in the graveyard of excuses? Today, listen to the voice of your Savior calling you to come out of the grave and live again. For more information, visit us online at clearviewbc.org. And for today's sermon notes, my blog site at abidanshaw.com.